How about them Jaguars? Desert Pine seizes control of the Northeast Division, beating Legacy on Friday. We touch on that and everything else from last week in high school football. I'm Case Kiefer, joined as always by Ray Brewer. I'm so mad I didn't pick Desert Pines last week. You got in my head. I think sometimes you play these games. I came in here thinking Desert Pines would win for sure, and you're so high on Legacy.
They were up.
Switched it up. They were up. They scored the first. They scored the first touchdown.
They had a hard time. Our Chris Cudialis, Super GA reporter, was at the game, and Legacy had a hard time completing passes. I think might have not helped when the running game was great. They just couldn't get some balance, and Desert Pines, you know, shot itself in the foot a few times, but overcame that and wore Legacy out a little bit and got the 15-8 win. Great game. I'm still high on Legacy. If you just look at that whole Northeast League with Vegas, El Dorado, Mojave, Canyon Springs, Legacy, and DP, the games have all kind of been close, right? El Dorado almost beat Mojave, right? It was a field goal. El Dorado scored first on Vegas. Vegas gave Canyon a run for its money. Canyon was ahead on Mojave by like 3 touchdowns. Mojave cut the deficit to 7 points last Friday. And you talk to all these coaches as we do on Friday night, and the common theme's like, boy, we shot ourselves in the foot. A lot of penalties, a lot of late hits. I think the theme in that league is whichever team plays controlled and what other team doesn't give away yardages or downs or points on penalties and dumb mistakes has got a really good chance to win on Friday night.
I still think there's kind of a gap from the top and the bottom, though, looking at the scores. I mean, I agree with you in Canyon, Legacy, and DP, but the rest, it seems like they're going to win 95 times out of 100 against the other three teams.
I agree. And then, you know, it just Vegas had Canyon 2-1 Thursdays ago. You know, if they could have stopped the run, they would have won the game. And I know I love the Wildcats, Case. I know you're going to say it. You love the Wildcats.
No, I wasn't even going to say that. Okay. I was trying to find the score. I don't know. I think those three are kind of above. I probably shouldn't have said Desert Pine seizes control because, of course, they did have to forfeit that Canyon Springs game. But Canyon still has Legacy. So I guess, I mean, Canyon is – that was just emphatically wrong. Canyon is still in control. If they beat Legacy, they win this league.
Yeah. Let me ask you, who's your favorite sophomore quarterback?
What are the – I know there's Colton Tinney.
That kid – threw for like 350 against PV.
I know. I got to stop picking against Centennial. They just destroyed Palo Verde.
And they're
that was
real,
nuts.
They're real good and
they're really young. Yeah.
What about my guy from Vegas High?
Oh, I was talking about that kid last week.
Yeah, Jashaun Scroggins, baby. Wait till he fills out, too. He's like dripping wet, 150 pounds, and he's tall. He's got long arms.
Didn't you pick against Vegas last week or something? There was some reason we were disagreeing on the kid.
No. Last week they played, was it 2 weeks ago when they played Canyon? And then.
Oh, no, here it was El Dorado, and you said the game was going to be close.
It was. El Dorado scored first. They were up 3-0.
And I said that wouldn't be close because of Scroggins.
Well, either way, El Dorado had like this.
They lost by 2 touchdowns. I had it 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I think I won out.
Eldo had a pretty nifty trick play that's on Twitter if anybody wants to look it up to start the game.
I love trick plays.
Do you?
I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
Are you one of these guys where it's like,
well, if you're El Dorado, if you need to try to level the playing field a little bit.
Okay.
If you're Gorman, I don't think you need to go out there running trick plays.
Just getting Power Iron loaded up. Speaking of Gorman, CK, we thought Vista was going to be like the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
First play, Micah Bowens. Touchdown.
I don't think I said they were going to be the test. I don't know where that came from.
Well, the stiffest challenge in that league.
I have them winning 63-7.
Stiffest challenge in that league.
Yeah, I do still believe that, but that just speaks to where Gorman.
Yeah, I just like the narrative with Gorman is running clock loss against Modern Day. Next week they lose in Arizona. And everybody in town's like, oh, my God, there's blood in the water, right? Gorman's vulnerable. They're not as, you know, they're not firmly on top of that mountain anymore. We could start sending some troops up the mountain to get the mighty gales, right? Now all of a sudden it's like 63-7, referee makes the hand gesture, running clock, and it's like, oh God, nobody's going to beat Gorman.
It was actually 62-7. I picked 63-7, so it was a point
be
off.
Be accurate, Case.
But yeah, I agree with you, except I still do believe, I just think they're a lot better than all their division. I still do believe that Liberty and Arbor are a little closer than past years. That doesn't mean they're going to win. I'm not picking them, but I think that
is faith the gap not is a little equation? Bit.
Oh, and faith probably too, because okay. they're just about beat Arbor. So I got to start including faith. I'm just not used to that yet.
And I think what I've learned with faith is that defense is, you know, hat on the ball. You know, with Ma'a Geoete Hunter Capillo, right? Did I say the last name right on that?
Pretty close. Okay. Closer than normal.
closer than normal. I like that, baby. But that D line, they played Shadow Ridge, which right Shadow Ridge is like. You know that, have you ever played that game in New York, Three Trick Monty?
I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it is.
They put like they got three cups, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right.
And they move around, and you got to find where the ball is.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You pick the ball, and the guy laughs, and he takes your dollar. That's kind of the Shadow Ridge offense a little bit, right?
Yes.
And they contained that, and they forced like five fumbles. So shout out to the Crusaders. Speaking of Shadow...
41-8 was the final score in that one.
Yeah, and then it doesn't get easier for the Mustangs. Thursday night, television, the Aggies are coming. Arbor View, Dan Barnson, your guy, my guy, everybody's guy except for maybe the former coach of Paolo.
Maybe someone else too.
Okay, yeah. And the current coach of another team, yes. Going for the win number 100, which is tough to get in this city. And you got to remember when – he launched Arbor. Arbor's like, what, 12 or 13 years old? 05? They were the little sisters of the poor, right?
Yeah, and even when I came here in 09, I remember they felt like they had a really good team and were going to compete. And I think they had a really disappointing year. They had like a losing record. And I think we talked about, like, is Arbor ever going to reach this level, this behemoth that we thought they could turn into?
Yeah.
And Barnson kept slaving away, and he got it there. And that's a testament to him. It'll be cool to see him pick up his 100th victory. Not to spoil the picks, but I certainly think they should beat Shadow Ridge.
Wouldn't that be if Shadow, which is basically Arbor Light, right?
Definitely, yeah.
You know, Travis Foster, a great guy who I really love. Love's a strong word, but I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. He used to be a Dan Barnson disciple. Moves around the corner from Arbor. Runs a similar offense. Similar mannerisms.
Mannerisms.
Yeah, on the sidelines.
I haven't noticed. I don't know if I've seen Chad. I've only seen Chad once or twice, but okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Cody Presser's a eighth-year senior there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think they're just outmanned against these teams, but they're still following the same script every year.
Three-trick money.
They're good at first and then collapse in league play.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Hey, could I talk?
Yeah.
So there's two teams that haven't won yet this year, Clark and Western.
I didn't know Clark. I knew Western.
Yeah, Clark is winless in Western. And Clark played, who did Clark lose to on Saturday? I mean Friday, I'm sorry.
They lost 14-0 to Moapa.
Brett Lewis is like, this is the best zero win team in America.
And we've heard that from other people too.
Yeah, they're actually tougher than they sound. And physical, and they hit hard. And if you just kind of look at their schedule, right, they lose at the buzzer to Virgin, which might have been more telling for Virgin, which is now out of the playoffs, right? Then they got the double forfeit, which kind of flipped their season a little bit, right?
Oh, right. Who are they supposed to play? I wonder who they're supposed to play that week.
They lost to Basic and then Cheyenne, which they probably would have lost to. Then they lose a coin flip to Spring Valley, right?
Right.
They give Vista a decent little game. They give Durango a decent little game. They give Moapa a decent little game. And now they got Silverado, D.O., and Gorman. Love the schedule makers. You kind of want to get the league championship games at the end of the season, and you go ahead and you pick Gorman at Clark.
I mean, Gorman just beat the second-best team by 56. There's no good game you can get by.
Is Durango – because now Durango here –
yeah, Durango is in the lead of the division actually right now, 4-0. Gorman only has three wins.
Okay, but this is allegedly for the league title, right?
They play this week?
Yeah.
Huh?
Big game.
There you go.
Big game. Caden Renshaw coming to get you, baby.
Yeah.
Woo!
I have a feeling it's going to be just as bad as the Sierra Vista game, and that's nothing to take away from Durango, who's having a terrific year. It's just like you said, Gorman is still Gorman, even though
I tell you what, though.
Otherwise,
you take two in that Southeast, right? That means you're getting a home playoff game against
Vista or Durango, right?
No. Yeah, Vista or Durango, the winner of that gets the two.
Yeah, so you get the other one if you're the two in the Southeast.
Yeah, so you're going to get – so Foothill and Liberty play this week, right?
Yeah.
Undefeated Foothill coming to get you, put it up against Coronado. I know one person that was happy at that result at Foothill. Come on, bro.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah, 35-7, the Falcons undefeated still. They play Liberty this week for basically the Southeast Championship. Do you think that game's going to be close?
Could, well, define close.
As in, does Foothill have a chance to win? Define close.
Well, I don't know what you, like.
Does Liberty have a chance to stay with Foothill? I don't mean that. Liberty's the power.
Well, like, last year they stayed with them for a half and then ended up losing by, like, 3 touchdowns, maybe. Uh-huh. Is that about right? Mm-hmm. I could see something like that again, but
okay.
I certainly don't think it's going to be less than double digits.
You think Liberty's going to win comfortably?
Yes, but okay. Maybe not a blowout.
Okay, so we learned a little bit about Liberty this week. They came back from the suspension. They beat up on Green Valley. They gave the rock to Cyrus Finusu.
Cyrus Fiesau.
Fiesau, same thing. Like 82 times.
And he was only playing defense early in the year. And
he was doing both.
Well, he was very limited on offense.
Yeah, and so now they flip that, and he's going to be very limited on defense. And Morocco's like, yeah, we're going to start getting our best player the ball.
Smart choice, because he's ridiculous.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. If you're Foothill, do you put 9 in the box and you just try to say, okay, listen, if we try to play straight up, then this kid's going to run, have a field day, because for all intents and purposes, he's like good enough to play for Alabama.
Yes.
Okay. If we load 9 in the box, maybe we have a better chance to corral him, and then we take our luck on the outside with our DBs.
I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be something like that, but I also think this is a case of kind of like what you said with Gorman, as everyone saw them play these great out-of-state teams and was like, oh, we have an opening. I think Liberty's whole offense, including its pass game, is going to look a lot better against these local opponents than it did against, I don't know, IMG and Lone Peak. They don't have the quarterback play they had the last few years, but I think the Noah Faua, assuming he's healthy and ready now, I think he's good enough to put up some numbers against these local teams. So I think that that's the way you have to go, because Fiesau's so good. But I'm not so sure that Liberty's offense is going to be as dormant as we saw early in the year against local competition.
Okay, because Liberty's got some guys, right? They got
the other part of the equation I need to say is their wide receivers are really good too. So you're kind of setting yourself up to get burned if you're putting two guys in the defensive backfield against these super quick playmaking receivers.
And what I meant is Foothill's got some guys. Blakely, Braden Wilson, Jordan Wilson, Riggin, junior quarterback. So if they could pony up, who knows? Last week, your boy, who did you say was the quarterback for Liberty?
Noah Faua.
Okay, so last week he was 4 of 10 with 2 picks against the Gators.
Well, that's not a good sign. That might kill some of my theory.
But he did rush for 65 yards.
Okay, well.
Coolest thing I saw this week, CK. So the GV at Liberty game was the homecoming game for the Patriots of Liberty High School.
Okay.
And so, you know, have you been to a Liberty home game, right?
Yes, okay. Many.
Okay, so you know how they got that that bubble thingy they run through? Mm-hmm. Tunnel, bubble, inflatable tunnel thingy?
Yep.
Okay, so they had the junior Patriot youth team run out into the field with them. So you got all these kids who are like in grade school before the game, and they're all getting all fired up. Could you imagine being on the varsity field on homecoming.
Next they run with the team, or they did it themselves?
No, with the team.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a good idea, right?
That's a good little wrinkle.
What,
I like
you
it.
Know what, you know what Morocco's doing there?
Building a culture.
Building a fence. Oh. Nobody's coming in my school to take my guys from my junior program.
Huh?
Right?
Okay. All
right. That's defense building. Forget about the W. Forget about giving the rock to Zyrus. He's like, listen, we got something coming here. Everybody on my youth team, you don't need to go across town and wear orange and blue. Fence up.
I like it.
Right?
I like it.
Is that a good point?
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, I actually think Foothill is going to give Liberty a game. I don't want to give away my picks, but I think this could be. I think this could be a challenge for them.
Yeah, it's a little. I'm a little more concerned after you read me that stat line of their passing game last week, 4 for 10 with 2 interceptions. Maybe you could sell me. Like we said, Foothill played them tough last year. It seems like Foothill's even better this year. Of course, undefeated. I do worry a little bit about their offense. They haven't exactly lit the world on fire every game, even though they have the pieces. I thought their offense might be even better this year.
Ball control, Case. It's all ball control.
They throw the ball a lot.
I know.
Don't they run the spread?
I know, but they're staying in bounds. They're draining the clock a little bit. All roads, Foothill, the only undefeated team. All roads come to Friday night against Liberty. It's the game they've been
preparing
for. Certainly
a big game for them, absolutely.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
You want to do the picks?
How it turns out. Sure, yeah, they have thrown the ball 100. Just Riggin alone has thrown the ball 180 times this year.
And how many
Only
games?
One pick, though. That's pretty impressive. 7 games.
Right? Do the math on that.
Yeah,
it's like 20 plus a game, right?
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's not exactly the definition of a ball control offense, typically.
Okay, well.
But, yeah, I don't. His stats are more impressive than I would have expected just based on their scores, though. Like I said, 11 touchdowns to one pick. I might be wrong. You might have me sold on Foothill staying close here.
I don't know.
Just extremely solid team. Who knows? Maybe they have a shot.
Case, what do I have to do to get you to drive home today in this new Lexus?
I like comparing the Falcons to a Lexus. Sounds good. All right, well, we'll start, though, on Thursday night, where, as we said, Dan Barnson goes for the century mark, win number 100, Arborview hosts Shadow Ridge.
Yeah, I think he gets the win, running clock. Maybe they give him what do you think he gets?
A
like?
Rolex? No, I'm joking.
What's he get? Because 100, it's tough to get to. I mean, that's 10 wins for 10 years.
Yeah, that's
give
impressive.
Or take.
Yeah.
Do you think he gets his picture in a frame at the Applebee's nearest to Arborview?
Yeah, that'd be good. I haven't been to Applebee's in years, but they used to always have, like,
I know,
jerseys and stuff up of the closest – the neighborhood team.
Yeah, I only know there's two Applebee's that I know of. The one next to the Boulevard Mall.
I don't know that one.
Well, used to, I mean, back in the day in the 90s when Gorman was over there, there'd be a lot of Gorman stuff.
It was hopping.
Yeah, before Gorman got better.
Yeah.
And then there's the one over there on Stephanie and Sunset.
Well, I know the one on Eastern over here. That's the only one I know.
Eastern and where?
Like kind of... Around Coronado.
Wow. Well,
really close to
Coronado.
Oh,
I know where that is, by the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, either way, they're going to give him something. I just don't know what it is. Cowboy hat, maybe?
Certificate? I don't know.
Yeah, I could see him afterwards presenting a certificate.
Well, it'd be like Drew Brees when he set the passing record. They stopped the game and gave him a certificate.
Yeah, but that was funny.
It was funny?
Drew Brees is a millionaire. He's won a Super Bowl. He's... going into the Hall of Fame, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, so Dan Barnson can't get a certificate?
Yeah, but Dan Barnson's a high school coach. He deserves more than a certificate. He hasn't won a Super Bowl.
All right, well, hopefully they have something planned for him, or else we're going to look...
Yeah, watch. Now, people listen to us at Arbor, they're like, maybe we should... I'm just going to be on TV, too. Maybe we should do something for him. Right?
Yeah. You would think so.
So what a Thursday night. 2.5 men on my LVTV and Dan Barnson. Going for history. The century mark.
All right, so I've got our review.
Okay, I do too.
Okay, number 100 for Dan Barnson. All joking aside, quite an accomplishment. Congrats to him. We certainly think he's going to get it on Thursday night. Transitioning to Friday, Coronado at Basic.
Speaking of 100, Thunder Jeff Cahill has been there for how long? At Basic? Since 08, 09. Yeah. He's probably
11 or 12 years.
He'll be at a Hundy one day. He's a young guy, too. He's my age.
Yeah, you would think maybe he's the next candidate to get to 100.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Sanchez picking up 15 a year, 13 a year, he may get there quicker.
Yeah, but I guess Kenny hasn't been there that long, right?
Well, he started with 215s, got him to 30 real fast.
Oh, those were his first 2 years.
Yeah, then he got a 13 or a 14, so now he's at 44 already.
All right, well, I'm picking Cahill to get there first.
Okay.
We want to make that a $5 bet that's going to last for the next decade. Yeah.
The Wolves got back on track a little bit against Chaparral. Great opponent, obviously. A premier high school in Southern Nevada. A lot of excellence there, so good win for them. Palmyro, my guy, right? Rushed a few. Dorian McAllister rushed in for a few. And the Wolves got a little confidence back. Obviously, they had a great nip-and-tuck game with your Foothill Falcons. And now they got the Cougs, who beat Green Valley and were beaten by Foothill last week. Basic at home. I love the pack.
Yeah, you got to go with Basic here. Coronado, still not quite at the level of these their Southeast rivals. So I've got Basic, which brings us to the big game, Liberty at Foothill.
That's a good pick, Case.
I didn't make a pick.
I know. I'm just preparing. I don't want to say upset of the week because No. I mean, you have to go with the name on the front of the jersey, and Liberty's just been so dominant, and they do have arguably the best player on the field, even though Blakely will absolutely go crazy for hearing that, right? It's like that poor man. Remember that poor man's comment?
We mentioned Chris Marshall.
Yeah. I think this game's going to come down to the end, but I think Liberty running the rock as they do with a young, hard runner in Cyrus
Fiesu.
I think they're going to wear out the Falcons. Liberty pulls away late. They win by 13.
Could be Fiesu, too. I don't know, but it's something around that. I don't know. Last week, I feel like you had activated mind control against me to get me to pick Legacy and pick up a game on you. This one isn't a picking up a game, but I went in here thinking Liberty would win easily. Then I think you made a couple good points. I looked at the stats. I think you're kind of right on here. I think Foothill hangs around a little bit longer than maybe we would have expected at the beginning of the year. That being said, I do think I'd say Liberty a little more than 2 touchdowns in the end. Maybe I'll go like 17. I think you're on the right track, though. I think a little bit closer than you think. That being said, one of these weeks it's all going to click for Liberty, I feel like, and they're going to blow someone out, and it could be Foothill as well. But I feel like the close game is, based on what we've seen, I think you have the most common scenario.
Yeah, and when you have to also look at that O-line for the Patriots, right? They got two Division I guys. One guy going to West Virginia, Troy Fatua, whatever. Right?
I don't have it in front of me, yeah. So I'm not even going to try, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't right.
Yeah, sure. Another guy going to West Virginia. You got a tailback.
Yates. You could get
Yates, yeah. And a tailback who we think is the next coming of Walter Payton with the long hair.
Yes, I can't remember who it was.
Oh, my God.
Actually, someone compared him to Troy Polamalu, I think just because of the hair. But it makes sense. He looks like him out there running around.
Just so our listeners know, we're taping early today. Usually, Case and I have an opportunity to talk about things we saw this weekend. But did you watch football on Saturday?
A little bit. I didn't see as much. I wasn't like all day on 12 hours.
Did you
like
see, and I'm not, I know you're a Georgia fan. This is definitely not a rip at you, but did you see so LSU played Georgia on Saturday?
It destroyed them.
Did they? Okay. So did you see, you
didn't see the 36-16?
I saw that they were up, but did you see so when the LSU players walk into the stadium to get dressed, one of their Polynesian players, dad and brother was there, and they did the haka.
I don't think I saw that. No,
it went viral online. But
really?
Oh my God, unbelievable!
All right, I'll check it out, even though I don't really want to relive that game. But all right, well, yeah, the haka, the Polynesians taking over football as they rightly should. As I know they take it seriously and are quite good at it. We're both going Liberty. This next one could be interesting, transitioning to the Southwest. Desert Oasis goes to Spring Valley.
Yeah, a DO gave Durango a little bit of a scare on last Friday.
Only lost by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah, and Christian Vaughn was like as good as advertised. He went for like 250, was tough to bring down. This kid is well over 1,000 yards for this season, 20 touchdowns. I don't care who it came against. He's having a great year.
I'm so happy you're finally giving the kid credit. Yeah. I tried the first 4 weeks, and he kept me on like, oh, he's only played Rancho and Boulder. And I was like, this kid, you don't just put up these numbers if you're not
special. Listen, when you play, when you do play Rancho and Western, you're going to get some numbers.
But still, Durango had been shutting people out and stuff.
I know, and Durango's coaches were like, dude, this guy was like, I mean, one, I love it. Case, I know you say football's a team game. But the best player on the field means something.
Especially if the teams are even, which here they're pretty even.
I got Christian Vaughn to the house.
Interesting to look at the state rushing leaders. Christian Vaughn, currently third. Can you name the top two? One is extremely close. One just edges him barely.
Oh, the kid from Boulder?
No, he's fourth. Thorsten Ballmer. First, Jordan Norwood, easily.
Oh,
first.
My God, I knew that. I'm sorry.
Like over 200.
That kid is so good.
Yeah, he's very good. And then second is Kyle Graham by much fewer yards.
Yeah, it's a shame that Bubba, I mean, obviously, Arbor's running clock in some people, so.
Yeah.
But and they haven't played Western.
That's a pretty good top three.
But I'm sure the NIAA will force Western to play Arbor 8 times next year because they screw everything up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the top three in rushing, and I think it's a pretty good one. I got to go with Desert Oasis here.
I thought I'd get one on you.
What, you thought I was going to go Spring Valley?
Ah, yeah, I know you're on. Your Marcus Till gets them ready to go every week.
Yeah, he does. I just, I like, I've been on the Christian Vaughn train for a while, so I'm going to stick on it. First place game, as we said earlier, Bishop Gorman and Durango.
At Durango for the Southwest League Championship. I tell you what, if this was a 4v4 game, right?
I still am picking Gorman.
You're telling me.
Have you seen Micah Bowens? He can do things these other kids can't.
Have you seen TK Fotu?
Yes, I'm still taking Gorman. I'm not getting sold on this. What four do you take? So it's Nursinger, Fotu, Renshaw. Who's your fourth?
Nursinger, Fotu, Renshaw, and Pelton.
Frankie okay.
Pelton. And then, of course, that Justin Johnson's having a great year.
And so
PB
Gorman,
our sub off the bench. If we're doing that 3-on-3 tournament.
So Gorman's got Bowens and...
Renshaw, three-sport athlete for Durango. Been the starter for as long as Cody Presser, right? Fotu, both ways, a beast, doesn't come off the field. Justin Johnson, big, physical. Frankie Pelton, quick. Nursinger, good as well. And who do I got for Gorman? Bowens, Smith, Donovan Smith.
Agree. Those are going to be my top two. I've only seen them once.
Cianelli, maybe not. The other kid that caught the long touchdown last week. I can't
Rome.
Yeah.
Adunes.
Adunes, yeah.
Don't they have some super recruit on defense? I think you got to take that kid.
Yeah, kid going to Utah,
is,
I think.
Yeah, I think you got to take that guy. All right, well.
Either way.
We're not going to play 4-on-4, spoiler. Yeah. And I've got Gorman.
Yeah, somewhere Cade Briggs and Bo Taylor have to get involved. Oh, and Kai Kelly is going to Stanford. Anyways, Gorman was
exactly.
Big.
4-on-4, 11-on-11, 18-on-18. I've got Gorman.
Well, I don't know if it's running clock or not, but it'll be a big one.
It'll be running clock at some point. So we both got Gorman. Silverado at Clark. I'm picking the Chargers to get on the board here.
Yeah, I was going to do that too, but now that you went first and I'm behind in the picks, I know from coaches I've talked to that Clark is big and physical and fighting. Silverado's massive up front. I think they're just going to do enough to get it done. I'll take the Hawks, baby. Give me a game in the standings.
That's true. Maybe I shouldn't have done that.
It's okay.
But I got a little excited. This is you swayed me again. You talked so highly about Clark. I saw them playing a team they might be able to beat, and I jumped on it.
Yeah, even like there was somebody had a photo on Twitter of their captains walking out there, and I'm like, Jesus, this doesn't look like a winless team.
Huh, yeah. So, all right, I'll roll with them this week. One of the worst. You probably should pick up a game in the standings just for this. The fact that last week I picked Palo Verde and they lost 34-0 to Centennial. Centennial, I mean, I thought they were going to be good by next year with all these young kids, but really it just seems like it's coming together now. They are looking like a real force. And this week, that's unfortunate for Bonanza, who has to travel there.
Yeah, listen, Centennial is in a decent spot to be the 3 seed and play a winnable playoff game, maybe at Desert Pines or at Legacy. I love talking. You know, you ever talk to Dustin Forsey on the phone on Friday night?
Although I couldn't get through to the one time I had called, I couldn't get through to him for some
reason. Guy, I just you talk to him, he's like, yeah, we got a few quick screeners, played some ball. I love talking to that guy. I love the terms he uses. He's got something in this quarterback. Got the receiver, Robinson. All their good players are young, CK. And when you get one of those little – because they play that – what's the name of the offense they play? There's a guy whose name it is. It's like the Smith system or something.
I have no – I don't know. I don't know. You've stumped me with this one.
Shoot, I'm going to get the name. It's like the Tony something or other. Tony Franklin offense.
Oh, okay. Right.
You know
right.
What the Tony Franklin offense is? Googling this right now. You might not even be our guy. Tony Franklin. Yeah, Tony Franklin. I don't know. Who knows if it's Tony Franklin? But they run this guy's offense pretty darn good. They got some against Palo, whose defense is decent, right?
Yeah, 34. Like I said, that's nothing to scoff at.
The thing with that offense is you get one guy in space. You're trying to get Garrick Robinson, your sophomore sprinter, in space and let him take it to the house. And they did.
And will they again on Friday?
Of course.
All right, so we're in agreement with Centennial over Bonanza. I won't make the same mistake this week of backing the Panthers because they go to Faith Lutheran. I think we've now seen there's a clear gap between the top of that league and the middle. I think Palo Verde represents the middle and Faith still around the top after that close loss to Arborview.
Totally agree. The one thing with Faith that was impressive last week, CK, is I thought they'd have a little bit of a hangover after the Arbor game, right? It's tough to lose a game like that that's so physical. And they went in there, and after kind of a close first quarter of ball, just really put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, beat them up. So Faith is definitely for real. They're a team that endured all those out-of-state games, and now they're reaping the benefits. I think that they roll here once again. Candon Springs can ill afford any sort of trip up. If they want to win this Northeast division, which they're in position to do, this week they've got El Dorado.
Closer than you think. Canyon Springs, one quarter looks like the best team in the Northeast. The next quarter, Coach McNair is like shaking his head out of frustration because of how the penalties come in. So if it's the Canyon that is good for a quarter, they got a chance to roll. But El Dorado does some good things, and I think if Canyon overlooks them, which they probably will, anything could happen. I think closer than you think.
I've got Canyon.
I do too, but I just don't think it's necessarily going to be a.
They beat Mojave. Mojave, would you say Mojave was closer than you think? They still won by 16. I think comparable to that. I don't think Canyon Springs will be in any danger. I think they just have more playmakers, so I'm going to go with Canyon Springs to set up a big game next week against Legacy, I guess.
Huge right. game, yeah.
Yeah, that'll settle the division. Will be interesting. Keep an eye on that one. Speaking of Legacy, Desert Pines coming off that huge win. You just spoke about a different team overlooking someone. Could Desert Pines be feeling good about themselves and not realize that the Vegas Wildcats got that Scroggins soaking 150 pounds of wet? It's going to run all over them if they aren't careful.
I think Vegas thinks they have a chance to beat DP.
As they should. They like. I think we've said this every week, but Vegas has been better than we expected this year, and I think they're a tough out.
At the same time, I think the only time Desert Pines has played a pretty decent complete game is when they went to Reno, right? Because you were there for the Durango game, right?
Yeah, they had a lot of kids that didn't play. I wish I would never have seen that game because I'm just giving you points in the standings since then by picking against Desert Pines. So because clearly that's not reflective of who they are in that game.
Yeah, and then you saw them against Basic, right?
Against Liberty,
right?
Third time.
And then Cootie saw them against Legacy. And I just think that Desert Pines has many of the pieces. It's just it's taken them a while to put it together. Eventually they're going to put it together. Vegas has to play perfect to win the game, right? Absolutely perfect. And I just don't think they could play perfect. But I think it's going to be – I think DP is going to win comfortably by 18-ish.
Yeah, I got to agree with everything you said. I'm going with DP, but I think Vegas has a chance to keep it closer. I think more likely, though, Desert Pines wins big, but not necessarily a blowout. Legacy at Mojave.
Legacy.
I'm with you. Legacy. Del Sol at Cheyenne. Now, this is a real interesting one because the 3A playoffs are all tangled up. And if Del Sol pulls this upset, there will be some huge tiebreaker that everyone's scrambling to figure out. If Cheyenne wins it, it makes everything a lot simpler. And I think you could convince me either way. I think this is going to be a close game.
Yeah, Cheyenne's kind of baffled me. I mean, the whole league has baffled me, right? Cheyenne, which I thought was the clear-cut favorite to win, you know, they've tripped up. They barely beat Democracy Prep last week. They had to rally from being down at halftime. Del Sol lost to Democracy Prep, right? Mm-hmm. Del Sol just killed Valley. Valley beat Democracy Prep. Pahrump has beaten everybody, and nobody beat – and Western's got no prayer. And I just, you know, on paper – Cheyenne should win the game. I just don't know which Del Sol team is going to show up. Because if Del Sol team that is, you know, handled Valley last week and had a 200-yard rusher and whose quarterback's been good shows up, I think Del Sol's got a chance to win the game. It's just every other game, they're Del Sol of 2 years ago that couldn't get out of their own way.
I think their problem might be defense. Here's another question. I know you I thought you would get the last one. This one you're not going to get. Who leads the area and passing yards right now?
The kid from Del Sol.
Yeah. Andre Navarez.
Well, and then
I was this is not this weekend, but 2 weekends ago, I was watching NFL games somewhere with a friend of ours who's also in the media, and someone realized who we were, and this guy comes over and just starts heckling me about how great the Del Sol quarterback is. And have I seen this kid? And I'm like, no, I didn't even know they had it. I shouldn't even admit this, but I didn't know they had a good quarterback. And this guy's like, this Del Sol quarterback's for real, blah, blah, blah. Now looking at his numbers, like I said, they've been able to put up points all year. So defensively is where I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't
Andre
know.
Andre Navarez.
I Pahrump, he threw for 118 in a pick.
Okay.
I mean, I don't.
He's leading the area in passing.
Yeah, I don't. Again. I mean, not to belittle the kid. When they lost to Democracy Prep, 9-7,
they only did score 7 there.
12 of 23 for .150 and 2 picks. I don't know. There's just no define. I don't know, man. I'm picking Cheyenne.
I'm picking Del Sol. All right. Why not? Usually chaos prevails in these things in the 3A, where no one knows who's going to be where. The one thing we do know is Pahrump Valley. We'll have the 1, and Cheyenne will have the 2 if they win this game, but I'm going to go with the upset.
And Pahrump and Moapa have won the league, so they'll get the playoff byes.
Right.
Right?
Correct. And part of the reason why this is all set in stone, at least as Moapa winning the league, is there was a big upset last week. Sunrise Mountain knocks off Virgin Valley, correct?
And Sunrise Mountain is now a playoff.
Yeah, so we knew the Miners were going to get it together. It seems like they got it together in a big way. This week, they play Boulder City, who's also been better this year.
Yeah, and, you know, Boulder City needs to win this game to get the 2 in the home playoff game next week. So I will take the Screaming Eagles.
What about your rule not to take them away from Boulder City? It is in sun. It is at Sunrise Mountain.
That's good. I think Ballmer travels this week, though.
I have no idea in these 3A games.
Yeah, here's the deal. Can you believe Virgin has 7 wins and they're not going to be in the playoffs?
It's those league. They picked a bad time to lose those league games.
Yeah.
That's stunning, and it kind of takes some of the aura away from the Hammer game this week.
Does it?
I would think so, a little bit.
Well, because now for me...
I mean, for Virgin, it's going to make them want to win it even more, but it's kind of rough knowing that their season's over either way, right?
Yeah, but then it's kind of like your Super Bowl, right? You win, you get a trophy, you lose, it's on to wrestling.
That's true. So are you picking them?
No. I'm going with Moapa.
I'm going with Moapa as well, and I'm kind of just stalling because I still haven't picked the Sunrise Boulder game.
And Moapa kind of held some guys out last week to make sure they were healthy for the Hammer game. This game means a lot. Right? Communities are close. It's 3A. You know, they played for state maybe in 07.
They played the playoffs a couple of years ago. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this this is a good big game, CK.
Yeah, I think it would have that extra oomph if they were fighting for, like, division titles when that's all set now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does Ohio State, Michigan need a little extra oomph?
Yeah. I don't think people pay attention, like, the years Michigan was terrible. It's a lot different when college game day's there and it's 1-2 or a top 10,
okay,
or you're playing for the playoff.
Okay.
When Michigan was struggling.
I understand that. Nationally, yes, there's more interest when the teams are going 1-2 and Murray's Claret's got to get the rock. However, in Ann Arbor and Columbus, regardless, the game is big.
Well, we're not in Overton or Mesquite. Right here in Henderson.
I know,
so for us, it loses a little oomph.
For us, yeah. For you, not for
we're
me.
The ones talking about it.
I'm in
for
Mesquite.
For the communities, no.
I'm in Mesquite, and I've been waiting all year to keep my hammer. And Virgin's got the hammer, bro.
I totally agree. Locally, it's going to be as big as ever. I just think it's too bad. From the outside, it's not like a... I think it's less of a can't miss when there's nothing on the line.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
So we're both kind of arguing. We kind of agree with each other, even though we're going off on this. Anyway, also to clarify, I got to think you're right. I'm going to pick Boulder City. I haven't seen enough from Sunrise. That was a great win last week, but... I've seen a little more from Boulder City through the year. I agree, Thorsten Ballmer will travel in that game. Pahrump looks to complete a perfect league record. They have to go to Valley. Could be dangerous, but I got to think they want that 5-0, right?
So here's the deal. Pahrump away from Pahrump. Pahrump with a guaranteed bye next week and a home game the following week and the championship wrapped up.
Valley still has a chance at a playoff spot.
And they lost last week by 40 points.
Who'd they play last week?
Del Sol, your boy, Nevarez.
46-6. Del Sol's beating Cheyenne. I feel good now. Nevarez is...
This game's going to be close, and I know Quincy and I are going to be talking Coach Burtz on Friday, but I'm taking Pahrump away from Pahrump, violating every rule I have.
I'm taking Pahrump as well. I like you. You can make a good case for Valley, but I got to go with Pahrump. That brings us to the last game. I don't think we're going to be disagreeing on this one. Your Chaparral Cowboys hosting Rancho.
I am a Chaparral. Boom, boom.
It's been a while since we've gotten this
song. Chaparral. Boom, boom. Cowboys all day. Playing a team they should be playing every week.
Yeah, I got to think this is an easy win.
I like how they threw the Cowboys a little bone. Like, hey, listen, Rancho, they've got their teeth kicked in all year. The season's over. Their bye week's the last game of the season. Shep, you go play in the 4A, and we'll let you go over to the ranch and beat up on them for the last game. Okay, yeah, sounds good.
This is their last game? They got to have one more.
Rancho's
done. Last game. I meant Shep, they got to have at least one more.
Do we pick the Western game?
Who are they playing? Oh, Democracy Prep. Go ahead.
I got Democracy Prep.
I've got Democracy Prep as
well. You stole my pick.
All right. I think that will do it. That's it for Prep Sports Now this week. We'll be back next week. It'll be some playoff games in the 3A.
Playoffs?
Yeah, who knows who it'll be. But we'll figure that out after Friday. Some close games. We'll be here for all the fallout. Prep Sports Now. Thanks for listening.